Glory be to God. The Bible says in Romans 5:19 that through one man's obedience, many were made righteous. We thank you for that, Lord, that we could be right with you through your sacrifice, through your obedience. And that makes a whole kingdom difference in how you see things through God's righteousness, through having a right relationship with him. We could see through our Father in heaven everything that life brings. We could see through our Father in heaven, our earthly Father. Not look through our earthly Father to see our heavenly Father, but through our heavenly Father, see our earthly Father. Because he's perfect, our heavenly Father. So Father's Day could be joyful for some, but could be hurtful to others because of how you view the situation. How you view God is how you're going to represent him. So viewing your earthly father through your heavenly father gives you a heart of grace, a heart of humility and compassion, and a healing perception and perspective on life. Thank you, Lord. So if anybody here today is still feeling hurt in any way, shape, or form through your relationship with your earthly father, we just bless you today in the name of Jesus. Because it's a position to be honored. Not by what somebody does, but the position needs to be honored. And if we could see through our heavenly father's eyes and through his heart, if our earthly father hurt us in any way, we can be reconciled to him and forgive him and be set free. So freedom is for you today, who is ever holding a grudge against your earthly father. You are free in the name of Jesus to view him through your heavenly father's eyes, to be totally set free, totally have his understanding, your daddy in heaven's understanding, his perception, how he perceives things, how he understands things, because how you view God is how you're going to represent him here on earth, so it's very important. So we bless you today. The message is going to bring healing to you today. Open your eyes today. Open your eyes of understanding so that you can view things the way God does. And I want to bless Pastor Tony today. He's a husband, an earthly father, a spiritual father, and a father to the nations. So we bless him today to continue on, to press on with joy, with love, with everything that God created him to be is released into his life. It's already there for him to succeed in and to flow in. And we thank you for that because it affects us and we love it. So we bless him in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hey. Receive that. Praise God. I'll be back in a minute. I was thinking about going to the bathroom. I'll never forget the time. I won't tell who it is, but we had someone that had the mic on ready to speak, and they went to the bathroom when the mic was on. And everybody's sitting in here listening to that over. Oh my. Yeah. We didn't tell him. Oh, I just said it's a he. We didn't tell him until after he was done talking. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. But that's, you know, that's all part of it, right? Yep. I mean, we have to be whatever. It's okay. Just the advice I gave to my son-in-laws when they were getting ready to marry my daughters was just roll with it, boys. Just roll with it. Okay, you're gonna get a lot of stuff rolling at you that you've never seen before. Okay, just roll with it. So, and they took that advice. They're still married. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father's Day. Can we? It's a good day to bless our father. Can we together? Every one of us in here, we have the same father. We're all brothers and sisters with the same father. Can we just bless him? Father, we agree together. We agree together. You are the greatest daddy ever. You're the greatest father ever. We say, Abba, Father, with the deepest, deepest sentiment of our heart, knowing that you have given everything so that we could be accepted, approved, and become your sons and your daughters. And your love is unconditional for us. It's just past our mind finding out. But God, we're so grateful. Father, we're so grateful. We want to bless you today. We want to honor you today. We want to declare to the spiritual realm that we know who our Father is. And our Father knows us. And we stand in awe and we stand grateful today. Be blessed, Lord, by the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart. May you be blessed, Father. Today, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. So, I have no idea where this is going to go, but that's normal for me. Yeah, you know, when I'm on the mission field, when I'm in doing the pastor's conferences, I don't prepare. My preparation is every day of my life. I don't get a message together. It's the more he pours into us, the more word that gets planted in your heart, the Holy Spirit brings it together and brings it out. And he brings just the right word at just the right time for the people that are there. So I'm believing that today he knew, before you were ever born, that all of you who are here, he knew you would be the ones that would be here. And the Spirit of God, he's the one I want to hear from. He's the one you need to hear from. And so I'm just trusting him that right now he's gonna give me what you need, what I need. You know how many times I stand like, oh, God, on the inside now I'm saying, wow, that was awesome. Because I hadn't thought about that. He just released the revelation. Am I moving too much? Yeah. Okay, look at this. Look at this scripture, Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. Blind man had come to Jesus and they said, Son of David, have mercy on us. When he came into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to them, Matthew chapter 9, verse 28, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. That statement that Jesus made has radically changed my life. He said, it will be done unto you according to what you believe. We experience in our life, we get to have the encounters that come into our life, we get to see so many things in our life, both on the positive side and on the negative side, according to what we believe. We were created with a free will. God created us because he wanted us to freely love him. He didn't want to have to put pressure on us to come to love him. He didn't want us to think that if we didn't love him, we're going to go to hell or any of that crazy stuff. He wanted us to freely make choices to choose him, to live for him, to love him. So he, with that free will, he's letting us know, okay, according to what you believe, that's what's going to come into your life. What we're believing today is going to affect our tomorrow. And as our belief system changes, how many of you, your belief system has changed? Oh, man, it's changing on a weekly basis for me. I mean, it's amazing. The things that I am believing God for now, 5 years ago, I didn't even think about. 10 years ago, I never even heard about it. There should be continual change in our life as we believe. Jesus said, it shall become unto you, shall be done unto you according to your faith, according to what you believe. Wow. Wow. So, I want to look at a couple things, okay? One, let's take a little, how many of you, there's a movie that you want to watch sometime and you watch the trailer. And you get excited, the trailer gets you excited about watching the movie, going to see the movie, right? God's given us some trailers in his word. He's given us some previews in his word. We don't talk much about Revelation for a long time, a number of years. I was like deep into the book of Revelation. I was really interested in what was coming up, what was going to happen, where we're going to go, all of that stuff. And I spent a lot of time in it. It's amazing. Let's just take a look at one thing. Okay, we're going to look at one trailer. Revelation chapter 11. Maybe I'm going to look at this in Amplified. I don't know. Yep. Amplified. The reason I'm switching to the Amplified is the New King James says kingdoms, and this says kingdom. You going to put it up? Revelation, I'm not going to go too fast for you, Harvey. I can't say, I promise. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't you be making oaths you can't keep. Revelation 11, verse 15, okay. You have to go through and read the whole thing about the angels and the trumpets and the soundings and, you know, all the things that are going to happen as we get to the end of the end. And here's the seventh angel then blew his trumpet, and there were mighty voices in heaven shouting the dominion, the kingdom, sovereignty, rule of the world has now come into the possession and become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, the Messiah, and he shall reign. He shall reign forever and ever for the eternities of the eternity. Okay, so what's the kingdom of this world? Kingdom of the world. Kingdom. There's two kingdoms. Kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness. Kingdom of light, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of Jesus Christ, our kingdom that we were born into. And the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the world system. The kingdom that the enemy is attempting to do something with to try to confuse people and bewilder them. But he says that dominion... The dominion, the apparent dominion. Okay, now remember this. Okay, we don't have to be affected by. We as born-again believers do not. We have been, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13 says, we have been translated into the kingdom of the Son, the kingdom of light. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into. The Spirit of God took us out and put us in. Kingdom of light. That's our kingdom now. Hallelujah. So there's a kingdom of the enemy that's operational here, but we're not part of it. And it has zero effect on us unless, I'm going to go back to that scripture, unless you believe it does. It's not based upon, just like salvation, the way that you got saved, it was not based upon your works. It's not by your works, but it's by his grace, what he has done for us. As you believe, as you place faith in his grace and what he's done. That's how you got born again, right? Okay, some people, religion wants to take that and kind of like push that underneath the carpet and say, okay, now that you're born again, now you've got to do all these things. Okay, and that's going to get us back into the flesh, back into the law, back into being affected by the kingdom of darkness, the works of the enemy, because he always wants to operate out of our flesh. He can't touch your spirit. Can't touch your spirit. He can't touch your spirit. Yeah, now, I don't know, maybe, you know, is that good news? See, he says, okay, that the kingdom of this world is going to be completely handed over to the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and he's going to sit on the earth. Jesus is physically going to sit on the earth and rule and reign for 1,000 years. And we're going to get to rule and reign with him. Okay, but I like that word become. Become, okay, it's like it's not instant. It's already begun. The kingdom of this world has begun to give way to the kingdom of heaven. How does it happen? Through believing believers. Through those who know who they are in Jesus Christ. The process, the spiritual realm is responding to believers who know who they are in Christ, who know they have the name of Jesus, who know they are sons, who know they are daughters, who know that the authority that rests in the name of Jesus is also for them to use. And it's our responsibility to bring the kingdom of heaven into the kingdom of this world to demonstrate who Jesus really is. Eh? That to me is a good eh? Yeah. Yeah, so we've been given a mission. It's actually a military assignment. Now, I want to make sure we understand when I say we, when I talk about how, what am I doing right now? I am talking to your soul about your spirit. Your spirit is who you really are. What you're thinking in your head, that's not who you really are. You have a mind that you use. It's not who you really are. Your soul's going to be completely renewed. Whatever didn't get renewed while you're here is going to get finished renewed the moment you come out of the body. And your mind is going to be, your new mind is going to be completely in agreement with your spirit that right now is perfect and holy and righteous and filled with the life of God. There is no sin in your spirit. Hopefully I don't need to show you these scriptures, but I can if you want me to, okay? There is no sin in your spirit. Your spirit is holy. Your spirit is pure. We've been given a mission, we've been given an assignment to bring the kingdom of heaven to this world. See, we're the advance party. Okay, we are the trailer for the coming attraction of when heaven truly invades, the new Jerusalem comes on down, hits the earth, and Jesus is sitting there, and we're all lined up, yes! Master, we're here to serve. Hallelujah. And we're given rulership over one city, five cities, 10 cities, 20 cities, whatever. It's going to be awesome. But right now we're in the prep mode. Right now we're the advanced party that's preparing the way for what God has declared is going to happen. That seven trumpet sounds. All of a sudden, this kingdom of darkness that's been messing with us, again I say, it can only mess with you if you believe it can mess with you. Everything in our life comes as we believe. I can do all things through Christ. You believe that? as you believe, it will be done unto you. How does that actually work? Well, you know, the religious church says, okay, now you got to make yourself holy. You got to get all the bad stuff out of your life. You got to start cleaning up your act. You got to start, you know, getting rid of the things that aren't good for you. And, you know, right? Okay, how long does it take before you get so frustrated you walk away? You know how many people have gotten frustrated and walked away from the King of Kings? Have walked away from the heart of God because they've tried and they tried and they tried and they can't do it. It's impossible. How does it happen? We understand what the grace of God has done. It's done everything for us. Jesus paid the price for all the life, all the godliness we need, for the provision, you name it, anything you can think of, he's already paid for it and provided the provision by grace. How do we get to see it? As we believe. And the Spirit of God sees our faith. He responds to our believing. He responds to our faith. He doesn't respond to our doing. Doing is an outworking of believing one or the other. Believing I've got to do, or believing he will do through me. Believing is first, and the working is an outworking of one believing system or another, operating out of the darkness or operating out of the light. Our doing comes out of one of those. It's as we believe. You know, when I began to see that, Yolanda, I started getting free. I mean, I not only was trying to clean up my life, I was trying to clean up my wife's. Yeah. I'm living testimony. It doesn't work. Okay. I don't do much marriage counseling because I always make it short. Usually the first session is as far as we go because, you know, they start out with, you know, blaming each other and finding all the faults with the other party, the other person. And I say, all right, it's not your job to change him. It's not his job to change you. It's not. It's not your responsibility. Your responsibility, you love the dude. No matter what kind of faults he's got, what kind of issues he's got, you show him Jesus. It's Spirit of God's responsibility to change the man's heart. It is. He's the only one that can do it. He is the only one that can bring lasting change. He's the only one that can release what we're longing inside of us and in our heart to see. He's the only one. So we got, you know, we have to make the move. We've got to make the shift away from the religious system and into the system of faith, the kingdom, so that we can be missionaries. Missionaries. So, you know, you can all tell people, I'm a missionary. It begins in our Jerusalem. You may never get out of your Jerusalem. It's okay. But if you do, you're still a missionary. We're a missionary, okay? To bring, it's a military move. We have all the forces of heaven backing you as we go to bring his kingdom wherever we go, to demonstrate his presence, to demonstrate his glory, to demonstrate his purposes on earth. On earth, to make it on earth as it is in heaven. To make it on earth as it is in heaven. You know how many believers are trying to get their lives in a place where they think they're worthy to do that? And they never reach the place. Because I was talking to a young man this week that has been out of church for a number of years, and his position is, he said, I know. He just looked at me and he said, I know. I still got some stuff in my life. That's why I'm not back in church. I said, is that a reason? I hope you didn't get that from me. Because it doesn't mean nothing to God. You know how he sees you? He sees you according to the new creation spirit person that you are. He sees you as his daughter. You're pure, you're holy, you're righteous. You got the goods, you got his anointed, you got everything. That's how he sees you. See, the change comes in our lives as we begin to see ourselves the way God sees us. Not the way we feel, not the way the religious people say that we are, or we need to get together and fix this and fix that. No. We begin to change as we see ourselves according to the truth. You know, that begins when you're feeling like you're anything but. When you're feeling like you're just, you know, the slime of the earth, just a slug, you can't do nothing, you still got all these issues, you got sin issues in your life, you feel like there's no way I can do anything. Shove that stuff. This last mission, they're still sending me emails about this one session I had where I told them about their spiritual toilet. I said, all of you born-again pastors and church leaders, you have a spiritual toilet. It's hooked to your side. Everywhere you go, you carry this toilet with you. Okay? So when you get something coming at you, you get a word coming at you, you get a thought coming at you, okay? The best thing is just to grab it while it's coming before it ever begins to take root inside, ever gets to your heart. If you can get it before it really gets to your head and you start meditating on it, that's perfect. Then it'll never get to your heart. But you grab it and you put it in there and you flush it. And then all of them were standing up and they're all doing this. they really liked that because they realized that, and I got a little graphic with them, and you realize that when you go poo-poo. Okay. We go poo-poo and you flush it. You can't go back in and pull it out. And that's a problem with so many believers, okay? We get these bad thoughts and bad things that are going on, you know, and we start to meditate on them. We realize, I'm not thinking that. That's not who I am. You know, and we take it. I give it to you, God. I give it to you, God. And then an hour later, we're taking it back. And we're meditating on it again. We're thinking about it again. But if I hadn't done that, the devil is such a liar. You see, that's not who you really are. Repentance is really to see yourself the way God sees you and begin thinking that way long before you feel it, long before your mind even agrees. We're training. I'm speaking to your mind right now, speaking to your soul. I don't need to speak to your spirit. Your spirit's got the goods. Your spirit is ready to rock. Your spirit right now is ready to go out there and demonstrate to the world. Your spirit right now is ready to release the kingdom of heaven. Your spirit right now is fully prepared, fully engaged, fully anointed, fully everything. Your spirit's got it and ready to go. But you need the agreement. Only two ways it's going to happen. You're going to have to get agreement with your soul, your mind, or the Spirit of God's going to need to come up on you. And he'll do that. The Spirit of God has come to live in us for our sake, to change us, to transform us on the inside, to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, to encourage us, to build us up, to give us peace and release his gifts within us. He's come to live in us for our sake, but he comes upon us for the world's sake. He comes upon us for the sake of the person who's standing in front of you who needs some help desperately. He comes upon us to do what you is not ready to do. You're not ready to do it in yourself. You're not prepared to do it in yourself. You're not even thinking that way, but he comes upon you to release the kingdom when you know who you are. So that's why how you can be a little child, a little baby in the kingdom and see tremendous miracles happen, because the Spirit of God will come on you. Because you're willing to operate by faith. How do you spell faith? R-I-S-K. Well, I don't know anything. You know, I'm not very spiritual. you know, I don't know much of the word. There's so much I can't do. That's okay. It's okay. Go ahead. Take a step. Got a hand? You got a hand? You mind if I give you my hand? And you say, I don't even know what words to pray. That's okay, he does. And I love Mark chapter 16, where he said, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will lay hands on the sick. What? And they will recover. He did not say lay hands and pray. What? That's the kingdom we live in. That's the world of heaven that's living inside. The kingdom of heaven is in you. And that's what it's like there. It's us understanding who we are, what you're carrying, what you got, the good you got. And you put your hand on somebody, you could just be saying, hey, having a good day. Hey, dude. You're not a dude. Hey, dude, that. How you doing today? Okay, you're just talking, but on the inside you're realizing you got a flood inside of you. Out of your belly, out of your spirit will flow rivers. He is not in us as a lake. He's in us as a river. Rivers are meant to flow. Romans chapter 8. Which one is it? Romans 8. Look at this. Look at this. Ooh-wee. Romans 8. You can put that up there if you want, Harvey. Romans 8, verse 18, 19. Verse 18 and 19. Wow. But what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that... Huh? Romans 8, verse 18 and 19. Well, that's 29. Well, it's all good. It's all good. 18? 18. 18? Okay, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be carried. What's the sufferings? Now, I'm going to give you a biblical New Covenant quiz. Is sickness considered suffering under New Covenant? No. Jesus took all sickness. That would be contradicting what Jesus paid for. What is suffering? New Covenant suffering. I'll tell you what it is. It's having a promise from God, having a word from God. Having a word from God and not seeing the manifestation of it right away. Maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe a year. That part's not ours. But for me, biblical suffering is I've got the word, I've got the promise. I know you called me. I know you've given me this, but I'm not seeing the manifestation. I call it the God gap. It's a time between when the promise is given, when the word is given, and the time the manifestation is released for you in the natural realm. That's biblical suffering. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. With the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. your assignment, your mission, should you choose to accept it. Your mission, okay, here's the free will again. Should you choose to step into it? Should you choose to agree what God's given you as an assignment, okay? It's not forced. You're not going to get de-sunned or de-daughtered if you don't do it. You're just going to miss tremendous blessings. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. And read verse 21. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Okay. That seventh trumpet, when the kingdom of this world is completely removed, no sign or effect of it anymore, and now the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, is fully manifest in every way between now and then, all of creation is looking for the sons and daughters of God. All of creation is hurting. They're in pain. They're in disease. They're messed up. They're confused. Because that's the object of the kingdom of darkness, is to bring confusion. And there's all these people that are in confusion, and they don't know what their life was all about. They don't know what they were created for. They don't have any idea if God has a plan, and if he does have a plan, what is it for them? They have no idea. And there's all the plants and crops and trees and that are waiting. They're waiting for a son and daughter of God to stand and manifest, to get the disease off of them. To speak to them that the crop will be blessed. The crop will be abundance. You believe that? I do that. I speak to trees. I do. What? Yeah. I told you about the mango tree, right? It's really cool what happened this year. This year, we're thinking, oh, there's a little skimpy crop coming out. But there's two crops. It's like, while the first one's coming in, there's now a whole other one three times bigger coming behind it. It's going to be like 3 months, 2 months later. I haven't seen that before. That's amazing. You know, and you say, how does this kind of stuff happen? You look at the tree and say, you will produce. Anything that's affecting you from blessing and producing and being in abundance, I command it off of you in the name of Jesus. There's the Son of God, somebody who believes, speaking to a tree. Some people think you're crazy. Yeah, okay. Well, you come and see my mangoes. You think I'm crazy. That happened. You know, that change happened for me when 1 year we had zero crop. Nothing. Not even one mango. At least, well, maybe there was some, but the squirrels got them before we did. We didn't even see them. It's all of creation is waiting. I don't know. Now I'm going to have to look. Yeah. So how? Tell me who it is that got saved when you got saved. Was it your body? Did your body get saved? Did your soul get saved? Scripture says that our soul is being saved. Our mind, will, and emotions is in the process of being saved. Right? So the part of you that got saved is your spirit, right? So don't you think it would be important that we learn about and come to understand who our spirit really is and the nature of our spirit and what's happened to our spirit? Don't you think that would be important? You know, really, it's whatever we focus on, this is true, whatever we focus on is preparing for us our tomorrow and our next week. It's preparing for one kingdom or the other to release something into our lives. It was last night, and we were sitting down eating, and I had a jar of marinated garlic. And I just took the cap off, and I'm shoveling these garlic cloves in my mouth. And my wife just turns to me, and she said, "We have church tomorrow." Okay, well, one thing I found out is that there's no instant effect when you're eating garlic. But the next day, if you eat a lot, it comes out of your skin. It just, there's an aroma that is around you that is like, garlic, garlic. Really? I had to be reminded that. Yeah. I've realized sometime in the past, you know, when I've done that and people, I'm praying with people and I can see them backing up. They're going like, "What the heck?" Whoo! Because it doesn't smell quite as good when it comes out the second time. You know, it doesn't. So we need to think about, okay, what are we putting in ourselves that's not going to show an effect right now, but tomorrow and next week it's going to show an effect. What are we allowing in the eye gate? What are we allowing in the ear gate? What are we allowing to take root inside of our heart? What are we allowing? What words are we allowing to be planted? You know, when the Word of God comes forth to us, the Spirit of God, the Rhema word, okay, when He speaks it, the Spirit of God takes that word, plants it in your heart. And that seed is going to grow up, and it's going to grow up over time. How many of you want to see everything instant? Yeah, which is why we have fast food places, right? This country is used to instant. You know, in third and fourth world nations, we tell them that they cannot understand that concept. They cannot. They got to go out in the morning, and they got to get their wood, and they bring the wood, and they light a fire, and they have to get a fire going, and they have to put their pots on there and water and cook their stuff, and it takes hours. I mean, they get up like 5 hours before anybody eats anything. And they're working away just to make a meal. And they don't understand the instant generation. They don't get it. But here in this country, it's like, okay, well, He said it. So I want it right now. I didn't get it. I guess God doesn't want to do it. No! You have need of endurance, the Word says. You have need to endure. You have need to be patient. You have need to trust. You have need for your faith to be centered on His word and not come off of His word. We have need to camp out on what He says and not depart from that, no matter what we see or what we feel. We have need of that. And that's the way it is, you know. My wife always used to say, "Boy, I'll get somebody to pray for me. I want to get a brand new believer to pray for me." Because it seems like it's almost instant. You remember that when you were first saved? It's like, man, everything click, click, click is happening. And like, you know, you cry out to God, and psh, here comes somebody's knocking at the door. "God, I need some food." And I'm knocking at the door, bringing you food. All those kinds of things, you know, happen when you're a youngster in the kingdom. But what happens? It's time to grow up. It's time to begin believing and trusting. Time for to rest on your faith in His grace and in His word. That, you know, that has to be learned. Right? Am I the only one? Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's just look at, there's a scripture we got to go to, but there's one I got to do first. Ephesians chapter 1. A little bit about what's happened to you and who you are. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says, I'm reading this in the Amplified. "In Him you also who have heard the word of truth, the glad tidings, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed, you've heard it, and you've believed. You believed in and adhered to and relied on him. Okay, verse 13. We're stamped with the seal of the long-promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit stamped you. He put a seal on your spirit. He put a seal on you that can be seen in the spirit realm. Daughter of the King. Daughter of the King. My daddy is Jesus. He puts a seal. He seals you. Okay. Well, and it says here, I love what this says. Verse 14. That spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit himself is the guarantee of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit himself comes as the guarantee of our inheritance. I mean, how can you get a better guarantee than that? You know, in this world, people will guarantee, but it's only as good as their word. Right? As God stands behind his word. He's the creator God. And he is the guarantee that you're going to get an inheritance. Yeah, he's already purchased you a new body, it says in Ephesians. It's already been purchased. It's already set aside. I picture in heaven, they're just kind of like hanging there, right? all of our new bodies, they're just hanging there. It's like they're waiting. They're waiting for the moment that they can be dispensed. But you're going to get it when the new Jerusalem comes down and you're ruling and reigning with Jesus. You're going to have the glorified body just like Jesus. You'll be able to walk through walls. You'll be able to eat if you want to, but you don't have to eat. I don't think you need to go to the bathroom. I don't know. It's going to be a whole new processing system. It's gonna really be so cool. And you'll be able to, like, okay, suppose there's an issue that's over in Port Charlotte. You just be, boom, you're there. You know, how many times we think, you know, people will say to me, you know, all right, I'm just trusting God's going to translate me out into the mission field. So you're going to be there in a meeting all of a sudden. I'm just going to show up. I'm just going to be there. Well, that's going to be normal every day for us in the glorified body. Normal. Every day. Yo. The Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance, the first fruits, the pledge, the foretaste, the down payment on our inheritance. The down payment. Okay. That means we're just getting a taste and there's a whole lot more to come. The taste is awesome. There's a whole lot more to come. See, these are the truths that we need to meditate on. These are the truths that we need to think about and speak about and see yourself as, okay? And Spirit of God sees you believing the truth, sees you believing the way the Father looks at you, and he begins to release and release and release and release and release and release. So he gives us himself. Wow. You know that your spirit person actually longs for impossible situations? Your spirit longs for impossible situations so the glory of God can break in. That's what you were created for. You see, we need to get our mind trained, our soul trained, to think that way. So for me, for a long time, it involved a lot of telling myself to shut up. Telling my mind to shut up. I'm not listening to you. This is the way it's going to be. This is the way it is. You're going to change. Oh, you'll change. You don't have any choice. You're going to start thinking different. Oh, you don't have any choice. Because I'm going to keep feeding you with truth. I'm going to keep feeding you with what the Word says, what God says. Hallelujah. Our example. Well, who's our example in Scripture? Okay, when you read the Gospels, is it the disciples? No, they're not our example. Our example is Jesus. And most people say, oh, okay, but come on, you're talking Jesus. Do you understand that when he came, he's fully God, but he set aside the God privileges, so that he could come as a man, as a human, to demonstrate for us what we can have and how we can live. Everything he did, he didn't do as God. Okay, if he had all the miracles that he did, if he did them as God, we could stand back and we can applaud and we can say, hallelujah, it's so wonderful. But there would never be the sense that we could do that. Because he didn't do it as God. He did it as man rightly related to God. He did it as a human being, number one, without sin. And number two, fully under the influence and control of the Holy Spirit. When you got born again, number one, got taken care of. You're without sin. Here's where religion messes us up. Religion says, you got sin in your life? What are you talking about? You don't qualify for that. Again, he's talking about who you really are. Your spirit person is without sin. That's who you are. So you qualify. Jesus did all that he did on earth because he was without sin and he was fully under the influence and control of the Spirit of God. Number one was done for you by grace. You received by faith. I'm not a sinner anymore. I don't have a sin nature. I have the nature of God. I'm a man of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a spirit man. I'm not a soul man. You're not a soul man. Soul man! Come on, where's that bass? You're not a soul man. You're a spirit man. Dearly loved, dearly beloved, full of the glory of God. That's who you really are. We've got to stop seeing ourselves according to our feelings, according to what other people say to us and do to us, according to what we think. Don't see yourself that way anymore. That's not the truth. The truth is the way your spirit was born in heaven. That's the real you. As we continue to see ourselves the way God sees us, the Spirit of God keeps releasing and releasing and releasing. It just happens. You see, coming to where we're walking like Jesus is a spontaneous thing that happens as we trust the Holy Spirit. It's not something we do. We don't work to attain it. We don't. Look at this, what Jesus said in John chapter 5. Jesus said this. John chapter 5, verse 30. In the Amplified, I am able to do nothing from myself. Remember, he's come to represent mankind. He's come to represent us, represent every one of us, and to demonstrate for us what we can have. He said, I am able to do nothing by myself. I'm independently of my own accord, but only as I am taught by God and as I get his orders. It's the same for us. You can't do anything independent of God. Oh, you can. But nothing you're going to be happy with. There's nothing that's going to change a life. Nothing that's going to release blessing. Nothing that's going to get you excited about living. Okay, no. We can do nothing. Nothing of value. Nothing of great worth. We can do nothing that's powerful and life-changing. Nothing that's world-changing. That's what he's saying. Nothing independently of God. According to your own accord, but as we are taught by God, and as we get his orders. Eh? Wow. Even as I hear, I judge. I decide as I am bidden to decide. As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. Man, that's being one with the Spirit. That's the way it should be for us. We make decisions as we get confirmation on the inside from the Holy Spirit. Not without it. Don't do it without it. Don't make decisions just based upon your head that's been trained to think worldly. Don't do it. My own will, I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself. Not many people can say that. My own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me. When we realize that he did everything he did as a human without sin, completely empowered by the Holy Spirit, then something needs to happen. Come to the place. I remember coming to the place. I said, okay, everything you did, I should be able to do. If I'm completely dependent upon you, you've already dealt with the sin issue. You dealt with the root of it, the sin nature. You completely removed it from me. It's been crucified with Christ. You put the sins away. It's not an issue for me, the spirit man, Tony. It's not an issue for that man ever anymore, ever again. It's over with. As long as I see myself as a sinner, I'm going to keep sinning. But I don't see myself as a sinner anymore because God made me a new creation. Made you a new creation. How do you see yourself? You got the world kingdom constantly pressing in on you to make you think that you're coming up short on everything. But you're not, because we're talking about the real you, the spirit man, David. The spirit man, David. The spirit man, David. Yeah. You're not coming up short. Uh-uh. No. You know how tall he is in the spirit? He's about 15 feet tall. Praise God. So we pursue it. When we find out, okay, now everything that Jesus did, now we can do. So you know what I do? It's different for me when I'm in my closet than it is when I'm in public. I'm in my closet. You know, suppose I'm getting ready to go to minister to a whole bunch of pastors and church leaders. You know what I do in my closet? Holy Spirit, they don't need to see me. They don't need to see me. Some of them have walked for days and weeks to come here because they're desperate to see you, Jesus. Because they're desperate to hear a word from you. That they know something's got to happen in their life. They need to see you. They need to hear from you. They need to be touched by you. They don't need to see me. So I'm trusting that somehow, some way, peel another layer off of me. Get something off of me. So that they will see in these shoes, Jesus. So they will see in these shoes, Jesus speaking to them. Not Tony. And that's brought that over into my daily life. I don't want people to see me. I got lots of opinions. I got lots of ideas. But Jesus has got the right one. Jesus has got the answer. That's my closet. And I come out into the public. And I say, I look at difficulties. I say, you are getting off of him. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hey, hey, hey. Hallelujah. Hey, hey, hey. I can't sing.
Ooh. They actually like my singing. You know something? You would be amazed, Melanie, in Africa. They have some of the, and Mike, you'd be amazed at those who play instruments. Sometimes it's usually just bongo drums, okay? But if we get somewhere where they got the keyboard and the guitars and all that stuff. Some places, like Liberia, they got really talented people. But most of the places in Africa, they're totally untalented. They have very little. Very little natural talent. And I have watched this happen so many times. It just blows me away. They start out, and their voices are. This is really. You just want to put earplugs in, and their instrument playing is like, I mean, they're way out of tune, and they just, it's just like the volume's too high. But you know what? Their hearts are worshipers, and we just want to worship you, Lord. We just want to worship you. Usually takes anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes, and all of a sudden, whoosh, and these people who can't play their instruments are playing them like the best I've ever seen any American ever play. And out of their mouth, sorry, you've seen it, out of their mouth comes beautiful sounding words. what happened? What is God really looking for? He's looking for worshipers. That's who we are. We're worshipers. He's looking at our heart. Is our heart yielded? Is our heart surrendered to him? It's not how good we sound, because he'll change it. He'll change it. The kingdom that we were born into suddenly just whoop, manifests. It just suddenly whoop, manifests. You know, you got somebody in front of you. They need something you ain't got. And you're trusting the Holy Spirit. God, they need words I don't have. They don't need my wisdom. They need your wisdom. And all of a sudden, something comes out of your mouth. And it hits them. And they realize, it's God speaking to me. It's God speaking to me. And their life gets radically changed. Because you're knowing who you are. It's not about what you do. It's about your faith. According to your faith, it's being done to you. Eh? All right, now I'm going to go to that scripture that I wanted. If you need to go, I understand. Nancy's taping it, so we can give you the tape. Mark chapter 1. This got me. There's a lot that gets me. You know that, right? Have you ever heard somebody pray according to Isaiah 64? Rend the heavens and come down. Father, Holy Spirit, rend the heavens and come down. That's, you know, how a lot of people pray in Africa. If the veins in their neck aren't bulging out and they aren't totally red, they're not praying. It's just they really put themselves into it. They like it, you know, when I tell them I don't have to do that anymore. Okay, you could take away the possibility of a stroke, all right? Because now, it's a much easier way. The gospel set you free. It's just set you free. Okay, look at this. Where the heck are we? Okay, Mark chapter 1, verse 20. We're talking about Jesus going to be baptized in the Jordan with John. What'd I say? Are we in the right place? Okay. Mark chapter 1. Okay, I'm going to go down to verse 10. Mark chapter 1, verse 10. And when he, that's Jesus, came up out of the water, at once he, that was John, saw the heavens torn open. Okay. In the King James, New King James says, parted. Saw the heavens parted. And we read that and we kind of think of a gentle clouds moving away. You know, nice, easy little gee. And they're moving away, parting. The clouds are parting. But that that word is just, it's the same word used in other scriptures, and it's rent, torn apart, an extremely violent act in the spirit realm. The heavens, the spirit realm. The spirit realm where up to this point we had darkness that was over people's lives. When Jesus gets baptized, what happens? What happened to the heavens? He says the Holy Spirit came down, rested upon Jesus. Did the heavens close up again? Uh-uh. Over the life of Jesus, which remember, his life represents what we can have, what is available to us. There are so many believers that think we've got to fight against this darkness, resistive, oppressive puke stuff that's all over the, picture it, puke stuff, that's all over the earth. It's demonic. We have to wrestle against it and fight against it. And every day's a battle, and every day's such a struggle. Do you understand what happened? I tell people, I tell these church leaders, because they're fighting like crazy. I say, you're praying for revival. You're praying for the reviver to come. You're praying for God to rend the heavens. The heavens are brass. I'm crying out. I'm not getting any answer. The heavens are no longer brass. Heaven is open. Heaven is open. I tell them, see this circle right here? You step inside this circle, and you'll get all the revival you want. You want to know why? Because heaven is open over me. You want to know why? Because Jesus opened it, and I believe it. There is no darkness over me. There is no oppression over me. If I believe that, then that's what I'm going to experience. You understand that? It's a simple, the gospel is so blasted simple. It's according to what you believe, according to the faith. What do you have faith in? You have faith that Jesus opened the heaven, that the Spirit of God came down for him, and he's come down for you. We're not trying to get him to come out of heaven to come to us. He's came down. He's in you. He's living in you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's become one with your spirit, and he's inside of you. Heaven is open over you, sonny. Heaven is open. It's not dependent upon whether you have a good day, whether you got your act together, whether you didn't slip today or not. Not dependent at all. It's dependent upon the grace of what Jesus Christ did for you. He opened heaven over you. And angels can freely traffic in and out. And the Spirit of God is there in you to stay. It's open. Think about this. We get born again. The Spirit of God comes and makes to live inside of our new born again spirit. The Father wants fellowship with now his daughter, who's now been born into the family. He wants fellowship with her. Huh? How can any believer think that a demon could have authority and power over the Father God who created us, having fellowship with us or not, because they're bringing some darkness? Who could ever believe that? Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's according to what we believe. That's what we get. So how many times we hear believers say, my life is so bad. I mean, the devil, he's after me. He's getting me. He's tearing me up. Oh, he's doing all these bad things to me. I mean, he's stealing all my money. He's putting sickness all over my family and all over my body. According to your faith, is that what you believe? Hey, there's some that are bigger than others. Sometimes he's giving out big poo-poos. But I'll tell you, that toilet will never get plugged. Every time you believe and you flush, it's going and it's gone. It's never to be remembered again. That's the gospel. Our parts just believe. Amen? Okay, so now, gotta look, Matthew 27, go back a page. Matthew 27. I'm gonna try to end it with this. Ha! Matthew 27, verse 50 through 53, we're gonna read. I'm in the Amplified. Is Harvey gone? Harvey, you in the bathroom?
He's gone.
Okay. Okay, Matthew 27, verse 50. And Jesus cried again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. He's on the cross. The last cry. Departed from his body. Spirit came out. And at once the curtain of the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep in death were raised to life. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Does scripture ever get you? You see what happened? The first thing was the veil was rent. The veil was torn in two from the top. I think it was 60 feet tall and about that thick. They estimate, well, it's not in scripture, they estimate about 4 inches, 5 inches thick. And it was torn from the top to the bottom. What was the veil? It was separation between the Holy of Holies, where God was on earth, and the people. And it was their sin that was separating them. The veil was there because they couldn't go into the presence of God with sin. And Jesus has now just finished paying the price so that sin is no longer holding us up. Now we can enter the Holy of Holies boldly, no matter what condition we are in. I mean, if you got a kid that's messed up, you don't want your kid to think they got to clean their life up before they come and tell you they got an issue. You want them to come with their issue. You want them to come with what's wrong with them, just the way they are. You come. Don't you ever think you got to fix things. You come to me. I'll fix it for you. That's the way it is with God. When Jesus finished, it was a violent act. Separating. Never to be put in place again. It's over. There's never going to be a separation between people and God. Those who believe can come. They can just come, whatever condition they're in. They can come to their Heavenly Father. They could come to their daddy anytime, any place. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. The curtain was rent. It was ripped apart. Only an act of God could do that. And it happened at that moment. At that moment. You know that when that happened, that also was the day that Israel celebrated their freedom coming out of Egypt. That's the day that they celebrated the feast where they were set free. Interesting how God did it on that day. He's going, you're set free! You can know me now. You can come to me now, just as you are. And you can come boldly. That every lie the enemy wants to give you about why you can't, or what you got to do, or things you got to change to be able to come to me, you just flush it. He didn't say that, but I'm saying it. Just flush it. It's not the gospel. It's not Jesus. It's not what he did. Oh, I love that. So what else does it represent, the veil? The law is over with. Now there's a new law operational. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. As we trust in the Holy Spirit in us, he releases life. That's the new law. Love, everything you need, is just going to come out of him. It's just going to happen. That's totally, totally awesome. And he says that the rocks split. I got to tell you this story. It involves Jean. We went to Mexico. Oh, my gosh. This is one of the first mission trips we ever took. We went to Mexico. We're out in the woods. There's mountain areas. He's up on a hill, and I'm standing down below. There's a cow that's dying on the ground, and there was no water. And he goes up to look around. He's coming back down, and I watch this big boulder. I don't know how it got loose, but it got loose coming behind him, right at him. It would have killed him if it had hit him. You remember that? How can you forget that? And I watched this happen. This boulder's coming, it got just a short distance away from him, and it split in two. And each piece went that way. I watched it happen. This big boulder split in two. It was amazing. I mean, boulders don't decide they're going to split. Okay, the Creator God, our Heavenly Father, knows our need. You know what he did with the cow? The farmer didn't know what to do. We prayed. You remember that? We prayed, God, cow needs water. Thank you for doing it. We came back the next morning. Now, this is so cool. It was like God took his finger on the mountainside and went, cut a trench in the side of the mountain over to the right to the mouth of the where the cow was laying, and there's water coming down here. And the cow couldn't move, was almost dead, and the water pool formed right where the mouth of the cow. That's your daddy. That's your daddy. That's your daddy. Woo-hoo-hoo. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh yeah. That was amazing. That was really our first mission. Our first mission. I'll tell you one more. That's the time they said, "Oh, there's this guy up on the top of the mountain. He's been saying, one day my grandfather told me missionaries are going to come visit us. And you're the first ones. You must be them." So they told us about it. They said, at the top of the mountain, go see him. So we went up there, and we went, found the guy, found his house. The old man, go in his house. He's got shelves on the wall, you know, where you normally put food. There's only one can on the shelf. And it's the wrapper's all brown, because it's so old. His grandfather told him that we were coming. And he said, I've got something special for you. Been saving it. My grandfather told me you were coming. So he gets his can and opens it up. It's got to be 50, what, 60, 100 years old. I don't know. When he opened it up, it was bubbling. It was tuna fish. I think it was tuna fish. And it was like, and we just looked at each other. And we knew because this guy, this was the biggest thing for him to be able to, he didn't know it was spoiled. He probably thought it was supposed to be like that. This was a big thing for him to be able to give us this food. And we looked at each other and we said, "Thank you, Jesus." And we put it in our mouth. It was clearly spoiled. It was bubbling as we were putting it towards our mouth. We put it in our mouth. And it was like sweet as honey. When it hit our mouth, God changed it. He said, "Eat whatever is set before you. You're going to go for me. You're going to go out into this adventure. You're going to go out where it's going to be my kingdom and it's going to rule and reign. And I change everything. I make the negative stuff good. Okay, you want to do that? You want to go? You want to go? Okay, here, try this." And we did. It was amazing. He was so happy because we ate that can of, it was spoiled, but not to us. He put it in our mouth. Remember that? That was the most awesome thing. And we're like, "What is happening?" It was amazing. Amazing. You know, all we got to do is realize who we are. That's all. Just realize who we are. You know, I think all of creation is waiting for us to stand up. All of creation is waiting for us to rise. You think when Peter walked down the street, Acts chapter 5, verse 15, walked down the street and his shadow, it lined the people up. And they said, as his shadow passed by, they all get healed. You think that Peter is special? Not any different than you and I. What does that mean? Does that mean a physical shadow? No. It means what was overshadowing Peter. What does that mean? That means when we come to the place where we're more and more dependent upon the Holy Spirit. You got the sin issues dealt with, okay? That's dealt with. The more and more you're trusting Holy Spirit in you, the more he overshadows you. and he becomes the influence around you. So that when you're walking, people get affected without you even saying anything. It's what we're believing. It's where our faith is camped out and centered in. What is our faith in? It's him who's living in me, living through me. That's the gospel. Just believe. Just believe. Right? I mean, they take clothes off of, well, pieces of clothes off of Paul. And they take those to people who were sick and demonized, and they just lay them on them. What happened? He was so walking with the Holy Spirit, so trusting in him, so engaged in the truth of the gospel and the grace of God that was been given to him, that now he's overshadowing his life, overshadowing his physical frame, is the Spirit of God. So it's permeating and filling the very fabric of his clothes. They're cutting it up and they're taking it. I don't understand this. But it's how it works. We were in Guyana, South America, and we left there, and Casey and I were there. And when we left, they called us up, and they said, we just want to let you know we did not change the sheets of the bed you guys were in. So why not? Well, we're just bringing sick people over here on a regular basis and telling them to lay down in the bed. And they're putting the people in the bed, and they said they're all getting healed. How does that happen? Because the Holy Spirit's overshadowing us who believe, who trust. You don't have to even realize that it's there, okay? You just know your trust and confidence is in him. And this stuff just happens. It just happens. And they lay people down. They lay people down in those sheets, which I don't know how he does it, but he like permeates. See, he's God. He can do anything, right? He just permeates the material, and people lay down. Just get healing. It's you think that because we're special? No, we're the same as you. The same as you. Just believe. Just believe. Amen. It is. It is. L. It is. It's just so simple. We have a choice every day to believe of the kingdom of darkness or to believe of the kingdom of light. To believe people's words, believe our feelings, or believe the word of God. Every day. You choose this, I'm telling you what's going to happen. The Spirit of God's going to begin bringing transformation, begin clothing you with himself. Things are going to begin happening like you've never seen before. It just happens. You're going to have more conversations like you're not even going to believe. Well, we should believe. But because we're not used to seeing it that much, we say, you're not even going to believe. But we're believers. Amen? Okay, I gotta quit. I got to quit. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can turn it off. Bye. There's no question ignorant. Woo! Yeah, you were born, all of us were born into this world with a spirit, but it was it had a nature to sin. Ah. No. No. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says that your spirit and the Holy Spirit have become one. You have one spirit, but one spirit is you and the Holy Spirit now together. Yeah. No. No, no, no. No. You had a spirit that had a sin nature. The moment of salvation, you get a new spirit born in heaven, and the Holy Spirit comes the same time. It's all his work. He does it all.